Hey everyone, Stunt Granny Audio TNA edition. This is Jeremy, and if you read the review, the preview of the show, you know Kevin's on the other end. So, what's up, man?
A cold is up, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
So,
that's far more interesting than anything that happened on that pay-per-view last night. So let's get this motherfucker rolling.
Yeah, well, I'll just tell everyone right now, about 30 seconds before I hit the record on this, Kevin says if his voice goes out, don't be surprised. So it's not the audio quality. It's actually Kevin's girlish voice letting out on him. So, all right. Everyone knows TNA Destination X was last night, or, well, Tuesday, or whenever you listen to this, it would be a couple days before. Okay, first off, I think everyone should know this going in. You're giving it a thumbs down, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. Yeah, and so am I. And it's seemingly gotten poor reviews even from the most diehard of TNA fans. So you're not going to hear anything glowing. So if you don't want to listen to 45 minutes or whatever of negativity, well, we'll try our best not to be too negative, but we both agreed there wasn't a lot of good on this show, if any, really. So just a little, I guess, disclaimer. Anyways, all right, let's go with the
Warren,
first match.
you've already clicked on the link for the podcast and downloaded it. We've gotten our hit. We don't care.
Yeah, well, you've already clicked to the site, so oh well, thanks. All right, let's get to the first match. The feud that never goes away but never advances at all. The Beautiful People with their new protege, Madison Rayne.
How dare you say that it did not advance? They've added Madison Rayne.
Yeah, well, okay. And then they
And
fought.
Roxy's hair has advanced further down her head during this feud.
Sure has. And they're taking on Taylor Wilde, Roxy, and the Governor. And Kevin's exactly right. They did add Madison Rayne to this, and they did add Roxy's hair growing out. So that's nice.
Yep.
Trying to think. Oh, of course, Taylor got the win. Well, not of course with her getting the win, but of course, the new person, Madison Rayne, took the loss. It is what it is, really. I mean, the Beautiful People who I'm gonna start calling the female LAX. They were the hot act, and then TNA just totally pissed on them and ruined all of their
That
momentum.
is a perfect name for them.
And for those new or don't remember, LAX came out with t-shirts and merchandise, and they were TNA's top seller. The second Jeff Jarrett and the boys found out that that was the top seller, they crushed LAX's push. And in, well, my view, they have not recovered ever since. Even when they added old Chesty McChest with Shelly Martinez, they've.
Well, and they can't even recover with Hernandez rocking a mustache worthy of, man, worthy of the Mustache Hall of Fame at this point. Come on, like you've got that sweet ass bandito fucking mustache going on. How can things get? Come on.
Well, I mean, they even gave them their own rough cuts, which was actually interesting because it wasn't Homicide acting, loco or crazy. And yes, that was supposed to sound white guy loco. But this isn't about them. But no, honestly, this match served no purpose, other than to just entice the guys with, well, I don't know if
Barely,
Madison counts yet, but
literally
Velvet Sky and, huh?
benefiting us with barely some TNA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was much quicker than the way I was going about it. So thanks.
You're
It's just
welcome.
funny. There was one part of this match though where Don West, I think, said something about it was either West or Tenay, and since Tenay's absolutely oblivious now, I'm going to say West said it, but Taylor was going crazy in the ring. I mean, everyone was bumping for her. She looked really good. And whoever said this reminds us of the Taylor Wilde that won the Knockouts Championship. And I just kind of sat back and was like, holy shit, that's right. She actually was the last champion. And it was just one of those things where I totally forgot. And I started looking at her going, I actually wouldn't totally hate if she was champion again. But I guess that's for another show. But really? Yeah, nothing to this thing. So
no.
And it didn't advance the story at all either.
Yeah, I mean, there was just nothing in there. And I mean, just a waste of time. And plus, I mean, it's another thing, too. Like, you're supposed to come out with this hot opener and get things rolling. And, you know, nothing really got rolling at all.
Nope. No. Well, I mean, I think that just speaks for the entire feud, too. But at least it's nice seeing Daphne get a paycheck. So, if anything, it's affording her with more of a check, so, because I've always liked Daphne, so. Okay, and then they had something backstage with Mick Foley, and the sound was all messed up, though. It was all about Jarrett saying he was going to be fair, and Foley, blah, blah, blah. Just one of those things where it's like, oh, God, the main event's got 16 different personalities in it. It's going to be a total nightmare to try and follow, I'm sure. So, what was your foreshadowing?
Yeah. It's almost amusing that they have to do that that intro now that they're going to call it down the middle. There is never a baby face that doesn't call it down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
it's a very rare occasion. You know, no matter how much they hate the bad guy, they always call it down the middle.
Yeah, I think, and this doesn't really count because he was one in a million, but Steve Austin never did. That was always the thing with things. Remember, they even had a pay-per-view angle. I think it was Backlash, where he got fired, and then he came out the next night and made McMahon piss himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that whole thing. But at least that was done creatively and effectively for ratings and fun. But
yeah, again, we've got to get back to the point that Vince Russo keeps on thinking that everybody is as popular and can do anything they want, like Steve Austin didn't. Unfortunately, it's just Steve Austin that can do
well,
that.
Well, don't forget to mention Jarrett in this as well, because Mantell's power has been stripped down. Not power, but his influence has been stripped down rather largely. So it's really the Russo and Jarrett show, unless it's the Knockouts, then Mantell gets involved. So. But Jarrett's also been trying to become Steve Austin ever since he left WWE way back when. So, but I don't know. No one seemed to realize of those, almost said jabronis, but of the guys writing for TNA, no one's quite seemed to catch on to the fact that, yes, everyone can act like a badass, but not everybody can carry being a badass. So. All right, anyways, after that, Brutus Magnus, who I forgot was even around, and honestly, I thought they released him. I really did.
Oh.
And then he's on the show, so I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of strange. Fighting Eric Young.
Yeah, and it was a really shame that he got lost after that outstanding interview he had with ODB.
Well, he beat Chris Sabin at the last pay-per-view. Then he lost a match to somebody on Impact. Then he disappeared. And then, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the ODB interview. And then he's on a pay-per-view again.
Yeah. With
just
an
like,
open
wow.
challenge.
Yeah. Okay. And Eric Young, of course, lost. So, really, this is a segment which is the first segment of many where if I don't see these guys wrestle again, that'd be fine.
Yeah, and I mean, it just made it extra bad that Young accepted it and lost due to the fact that, I mean, I'm not saying either way what they should be doing with Eric Young, really, although they really seem to
love him.
I
got some ideas.
Well, yeah, obviously, fire him, but but they seem to want to keep him around. Why did they give him such a big win on Impact of being Sting's guy, and then they have him fucking lose a couple of nights later?
Well, because he's, like, well, first he's Jarrett's boy. Hurt. Well, yeah, but he's Jarrett's boy. And it goes back to the old Kevin Nash thing of, it's okay to lose on pay-per-view. Because your audience is much larger on TV than it is on pay-per-view. So you lose on pay-per-view, yeah, but no one saw it. And that's one thing I've always just kind of agreed with here. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
I think we've said enough on that one.
Yeah, but no, but Eric Young, I mean, I know it's easy to say fire him, but there's nothing for him. Which we'll get into a little bit later. Okay. All right, then to continue the suckfest, and this is really how this night's gone. We've got the first match with the Beautiful People, who, like we just said, was a very hot act. They carried their segments on TV. The Impact crowd, you know, the Impact crowd didn't like them or got all over the case. But unlike some of these people, like Eric Young, the Beautiful People's heat actually transferred out of the Impact zone. So on other pay-per-views, there were cat calls, but there were also a lot of boos. So it just kind of showed, I hate saying universal appeal, but yeah, I already explained it. So, but then you follow it up with Brutus Magnus, no one cares about, or Eric Young, who's only popular in Orlando. Then we get Sheik Abdul-Bashir walking out and bitching about how he's, he's tired of being a victim. People think he's a terrorist when they look at him. And then blah, blah, blah. And then Jim Cornette walks out and says he doesn't like him. And that's why he's not, it's just, and it's like, this segment went on, I think it was what, 7-8 minutes? But it seemed like it went on 30.
Yeah, it felt like it it took forever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, his, you know, I mean, they've gone completely from having a decent, not even a decent idea, a good idea, as to how to deal with him and, you know, portray him as a, you know, an American that's just been, you know, wronged, to like, hey, I'm going to strap a bomb to myself and I'm going to jump into the Impact zone and kill everybody in here. And it's just like, Oh, okay, well, this is stupid.
No,
nobody on the roster would like him. Like, he should be getting the tar beaten out of him all the time,
yeah,
if that's the case.
And I think you brought up exactly what I was about to say. That initial idea, it was taken from the Muhammad Hassan deal years ago with the two of them. But they never gave it a chance. I mean, they even had his entrance music with the sound of planes at the beginning of it. And then they got rid of that. And then instead of being from this country, now he's from the Middle East, which I don't know if they ever said where he used to be from.
I think it was on Impact that they introduced him as being from Tehran.
Okay. Because I could have swore that when he first came out, they actually said where he was from, Dearborn, Michigan. I could have swore that's what they said. So,
okay.
I mean, because I think I was talking to Eric when they did that, and I was like, all right, well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, it's the biggest population of Middle Eastern or Muslim people in this country. So, and trust me, I know. I grew up with all of them.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss when you're up there for WrestleMania and they had the signs in Arabic.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, we never got to go to get Middle Eastern food, too. Ugh. That's right. If anything from that trip, that's the one regret, is we didn't get to go to Lachish now that they're all closed. But, or any other authentic Middle Eastern, but considering we were either drunk or too lazy to get out of bed. Okay.
Yeah, all of the above.
Yeah. Oh, so anyways, they introduced, during the segment, they introduced some guy, Officer Neil. didn't he, did this, remember this right, didn't Officer Neil, yeah, he introduced Eric Young and Brutus Magnus, right? Is that how it went?
Yeah, yeah, I can't believe we're going this in-depth. We're just covering the covering everything here.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with the Officer Neil guy if he was even a real, I mean, I don't know, if he was even a real soldier. It looked like he was Navy. Were those Navy dress he was wearing,
yeah.
I believe? He came out and he started singing God Bless America, and yeah, it was really off key, whatever else, and Tenet said something funny, but, oh my God, it just added, it's like taking a dump and then you don't flush, someone else comes and you just, they take another one right on top of it. It's just, this show's just growing by the dump load. And then they went to another, all right, so then anyways, they go to another backstage segment with Kurt Angle, blah, blah, and then we get Matt Morgan and Abyss. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, if you're a fan of Lauren and seeing cleavage, it was a decent match. If you were not a fan of either of those things, not a good match.
Wait, did Lauren come out during that? Did I fall asleep or something?
Yeah, she came out and started yelling. Didn't she come out to tell
No, you're confusing. No, you're confusing Impact.
That is, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should actually look at my, maybe I should look at the write-up that I have up here.
Yeah, well, okay, so to cover Kevin's ass, no, there was no Lauren, so there really was no reason to enjoy this show, this match.
Yeah.
They had boards of tacks, they had tacks in a bag on a pole, they had a flaming bag of tacks, they had tacks that were freshly pressed, so they were steaming hot. I don't know. It was just, they made all of these tacks out to be this big deal, and I don't know. Matt Morgan's push is frustrating beyond belief because he'll look good one week and he'll look like a total tool the next week. Abyss is Abyss. I mean, you're not getting anything else out of this guy.
Nope.
So, and everyone knows Matt Morgan won with his running bicycle kick, I guess they're calling it. Which, to me...
No, the carbon footprint is what they're calling it.
Okay, whatever.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. I actually think that move's kind of cool. It's impressive for a big man. I mean... He makes it look impressive. He makes it look like he gets high off the ground to do that. So I don't have a problem with that move. But I don't know. For a big man, it's not a very good finishing move, especially since it didn't work already the first time around. But
he actually does that elevator, but I'm guessing that Abyss is too big for him to do that.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. Because Abyss apparently hasn't missed too many meals lately.
Nope. He certainly does not have a problem shoving food down his gullet.
Yeah. Yeah, and during this match, even though it was a tax match, Abyss had glass. No one went through the glass and tax in the ring, so, you know, that's fine, whatever. I don't know, man. I don't expect anything out of Abyss matches anymore. So nothing, his matches don't make me upset at all. I mean, at all. And I know a lot of people just hated this match, but I'm like, what the hell did you expect? At least Matt Morgan won this time, I suppose. Even though they kind of did this backwards with Morgan losing the first one and then Abyss winning the second one. Or I'm sorry. And then Morgan, the bad guy, winning the second one. I mean, I think we discussed that when they had the first match. It didn't make any damn sense why they would do it this way.
We can only hope that they decide to just scrap that whole thing.
Yeah, well, I think...
And there is that piece of garbage again.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, I was looking at the house there, Randy Orton.
Yes.
Fucking replaying. Anyway.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think we talked about this before. It's an eventuality that Lauren has to turn on Abyss, right? I mean,
so I don't know if we talked about it, but one would
Well, not
think,
on an audio, no.
And, yeah, I mean, come on. It's TNA, and, you know, if you put any two elements together for more than... Well, okay, if you put any two elements together... They're going to break up, and I mean, considering the fact that they've actually been friends for, like, more than a month, then, yeah, it's coming, and it's coming in a hurry.
Yeah, and especially with Abyss calling her his girlfriend all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see their logic. Well, no man calls me my girl. I say, oh, okay, I get it. Yes, yes, women suck. I understand, TNA. Thank you. So, again, another nothing match. So we've gotten a whole lot of talking and a match with two big lumbering guys. And I just wonder how long it's going to take for Morgan's polish to wear off. And the TNA brass are finally going to give up on him. I mean, I know being in the feud with Abyss isn't exactly high profile, but you can't keep putting him in this situation. I mean, sooner or later, you got to do something better with him, I suppose. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. After that, you have the segment backstage with Cornette. It was just another reason for Cornette to be on screen, really. So, boy, oh boy. And then what has to go down as one of the worst wrestling segments ever. And really, this one just kind of burns in my head because it's so fresh. It was the ODB, the... Win a night, whatever, with ODB contest.
Well, you said one of the worst. You didn't say the worst. Which,
no,
you know,
no, not the worst.
That's always a tough one to judge in my book.
Yeah, well, right now, currently, the Donald Trump Rosie is at the top of mine. But I'm also open to other ones that could, you know, change my mind. So, I really don't want to talk about this. It's just, basically, the entire segment was one to get another Jarrett Crony Shark Boy on the show. He was on there, and I can't remember the last time he was actually on TV.
Yeah, that's what they had mentioned. The other guy that won it was, And, you know, if you're going to do something, I don't know, are they going to show segments? And, I mean, not that I'm asking them to, but, I mean, they're going to torture us and we're going to fucking watch it for God knows what reason. You know, the reasoning being that...
I'm not letting you off the hook. Why do we have to watch this?
Oh, yeah. Because I have a short attention span and started to watch Raw and was even more entertained than that.
Nice.
Yeah, were they going to show more segments, like, on Thursday or on the following Impacts with this thing? I mean,
yeah.
I think that they're going to, and it's just like, oh. I mean, do they really need another guy on their roster just to fucking chew up space?
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, they could have made this short. They could have picked the guy out and then just done little segments on the pay-per-view and then, you know, that been it, because... Well. You know, we're stuck with one long, boring-ass segment accomplished absolutely nothing.
And it really did accomplish nothing except add another independent... I mean, and I don't mean this in a negative light, even though it's a negative. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But just another indie wrestler that no one was clamoring for, you're adding them to the show. I mean... You just know what this is going to turn out to be. It's going to be a bunch of segments on the show. And just like you said, it's going to be. So instead of getting her interview segment, now we're going to get some gay-tarded, which is my new word for it right now, is just some gay-tarded segments with the two of them going out and then him turning in love and hamming up the stupid-ass redneck gimmick. Which is exactly what wrestling shows should be doing right now. I mean, did you saw those videos, right? All the people who thought this was a real contest? Or if those hopefully, I was hoping those were fake. Like, those were kids or parents or friends of people who work for TNA and not actual people sending these to the show. But, I mean, all showing those videos and doing a contest like this only reinforces people's beliefs that Southern dumb rednecks watch wrestling. Even though that's not the case, it just reinforces that stereotype. I mean,
Anyways, we need to dedicate the remainder of this audio to Dale Earnhardt and keep on moving.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Bring that up so I can't talk about it. Okay. So, anyways, next match, Awesome Kong is Sojourner Bolt or Sojo. If Sojourner Bolt first, is she a face? Because she sure as hell doesn't act like one. And she's hanging out with Raka Khan. I mean,
well, you're supposed to assume it since she's fighting Kong. And, you know, again, another in a long line of TNA. Let's put them together for what? They were together for maybe the Kongtourage was around for maybe a month. And then Bolt. And, you know, they really need to – I think that they're trying to go for a Flojo kind of a deal by calling her Sojo all the time. But, man, that just sounds really awful. I don't know why Sojo Bolt does not sound good to me.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't wrestle very good either. And this match, dunk.
No.
I mean, and that's really bad because Awesome, I mean, and maybe it was Gail Kim. I don't know. But Awesome Kong, or wait, is she Awesome Kong in this one? I always forget. Yeah. Awesome Kong has had good matches with everybody, even Taylor Wilde. When Taylor Wilde was a nobody at the time, she still had good matches with everybody. So, and I know she's been hurting, but if that's the case, protect her in tag matches or something. There's no reason to embarrass her and just have these shit matches on pay per view. It's disgusting. But I guess that's the fan of Awesome Kong in me coming out, because I really do think she's really pretty awesome. So, wait a minute.
I'll bring up the thing that just irritated the shit out of me last night, too, is that Don West was talking about how much Sojo could have learned, you know, if she had stayed in the Kongtourage. And my point was just literally, quite literally, that you can't learn anything from Awesome Kong. Like, she wins because she's that much larger than every other woman. It's just like, what are you going to learn? How to fucking grow 6 inches and get fat? I mean, you know, what the hell are you going to do? You know, you can't really learn anything from her. If you say that you're learning something from Raisha Saeed, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, Kong doesn't, like, choke any bitch out or anything like that. You know, she doesn't turn into Wayne Brady.
Yeah. She just basically just goes out there and beats up somebody, and that's it. There's no chain wrestling. There's no mat wrestling. There's nothing. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh. And, yeah, I mean, I like her. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, indestructible force you almost always want to have around so that when they lose, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of hard to keep the belt off of her, too, then, for any length of time to have, like, you know, just break the cycle. Let the beautiful people run. I mean, and that's maybe the only way to do it is to have the beautiful people win the belt with a bunch of extra distractions. But, we're back to more distractions with the TNA.
All right. So speaking of distractions, the next match was Samoa Joe or some guy impersonating him versus Everyone Loves Scott Steiner. I can't remember which publication it was, so it's one of them. And someone's source said that Samoa Joe's stock has fallen so much, he would only get a developmental deal right now. And I think that is totally the correct attitude to have with him right now. Because and yes, part of it is how he's being used, all right? That look last night was so, I don't want to say repulsive, because that's too strong. It was such a put-off he looks like just one of these generic backyard wrestlers now. And I know you like the pants, but it wouldn't have mattered if he was wearing a kilt. I mean, the look was just horrible. He looks absolutely terrible now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, black is supposed to be slimming, but it really did not slim him up at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you understood what I was saying about the shorts. I mean, I know you said that the shorts look bush league, and after a while, yeah, it was time to change the get up. But the shorts came up so high on his waist that it covered up the fact of how overweight he is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he had longer hair,
I mean, he basically shaved his head without a guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all he did. He just didn't bick it.
He's got some butchered mo haircut now. He's got that awful tattoo on his face. I mean, I know it's fake, but the entire package is just, I mean, it's awful. And this short match, or whatever you want to call it, with Scott Steiner, and he's pulling knives on people, I don't understand. And what the hell is his Nation of Violence? That doesn't make any sense if he's the only one in the nation.
Well, and the other thing that doesn't make any sense is that, what's his name? You know, and you pointed this out, Tanay is so bass-ackwards now that,
mm-hmm.
like, he can't accept that any of the guys that he roots for are, you know, going evil. It's just like, yeah, no, dude, he's doing some fucked up stuff.
Yes. I was reading, I think it was Wade Keller in the PW Torch this week, or a couple weeks ago, I can't remember. I had a stack of them, I finally got to reading. And he was saying that Scott Steiner's unintentional comedy, or his comedic timing, is one of the reasons to watch Impact, and it is. I mean, there's no other reason to watch Scott Steiner. But the whole thing
you
with...
You do not want to watch him in the ring.
No, but the whole thing with the knife or whatever, and I meant to mention this a while back, but when he just stopped and was like, he had a knife. And it basically, and Wade said the same thing, saying, you know, wait a minute. Like, talking to the booking committee, basically going, he just pulled a knife on me. Like, this is wrestling. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, like, the crowd chanting Joe's going to kill you, you know, because that just means the crowd's into you.
Right.
But it's another when you're actually pulling a knife on somebody. I mean, or whatever that thing is. It looks like a lawnmower blade.
Yeah, it's a Samoan tribal knife, my man.
Really? Is it really? Whatever. and if it is, I don't care. So, yeah. But, I mean, there's something drastic needs to happen with Samoa Joe. And I mean drastic fast.
Well, and I can't believe that they had mentioned for the house shows that he was wrestling Kurt Angle.
Well, their house shows don't make any damn sense anyways, so...
Oh, okay, those aren't indicative like the WWE's. I rarely pay attention to them.
Oh, no.
I just happen to notice that.
No. I mean, very rarely do they match up, so... I mean, so going off that, no, you can't even pay attention to that, so... But anyways, so, I mean, and some of Joe and Steiner ended in a DQ, it was whatever... So, after that was actually a good match. I mean, and I say a good match only because everything else has been such a dud so far. AJ Styles beat Booker T for the Legends Championship, which will probably get reversed tonight. I haven't even checked, like, the TNA Impact spoilers yet, but I'm pretty sure it'll get reversed tonight somehow. Just because of the setup from before, how it was signed under duress and blah, 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 blah. So... but no, I mean, I just thought it was a decent match. You know, Styles win and all that. I still think there's some mileage left in, Styles as you know, as TNA's wrestler, as a face for the company. I still think they haven't, what's it called? I don't want to say like got to the tip of the iceberg, whatever, but I don't think they've tapped out AJ Styles because of how they've changed his character over and over and over so many times. So that if they give him a serious push as a top tier wrestler, I think they can actually, you know, use him as the face for a while. I think it'd be a good idea too. But
well, that or he's actually totally being he's gotten back to the serious phase, which helps out quite a bit.
Right.
And you know, he just wasn't. He was just a fucking goofball for the longest time.
Yeah. Which so, you know, it served its purpose, because when he came in, you know, he was Mr. TNA, whatever else, and he'd won championships and this and this. So I didn't mind the break as the goofy sidekick for a while. And no, it didn't make any sense. I mean, at all. They never explained why all of a sudden he's this goofy sidekick guy. You know, I liked him with Tomko. I thought that turned out to be a pretty decent team. But, you know, we all know how that's turned out. So, let's see. What was next? The next match was Beer Money against the Dudleys. I'm refusing to call them Team 3D. Wow. I don't know. I didn't know what to think of this match, because it was okay. And then, you know, they purposely get disqualified. And Cornette comes out and says, "You can't do that. Get in the ring." So they hit the 3D on James Storm, and Robert Roode goes, "No way," and carries him out and gets countered out.
Yep.
If they wouldn't have done the DQ angle with Cornette coming out saying, "No way, that's not going to happen," I would have been totally fine with the count out, because, and maybe it's, I don't know, maybe I've been limited in what I've seen. I have never seen that before, where the guy's partner just carries the other guy out instead of fighting the match. I've never seen that before. So take away the DQ, and that's actually kind of an interesting end of the match, which would have smartly played up their next encounter at Lockdown inside the cage. But, you know, they had to try to be clever about it and do the DQ thing first. I mean, oh well.
Yep.
Yep. All right. And then this is where I took a break, so I missed some of the Ultimate X. Watching what I could today of it, I don't know. The Ultimate X match always has its good spots, but it always lacks in psychology. And this one didn't disappoint. The whole thing. I mean, and I don't think a lot of people know that Christopher Daniels is actually suicide now since Kazarian's hurt, or Frankie Kazarian's hurt.
It was a spot festival. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
The big moment at the end, I mean, it was kind of neat, but
it's been done. But the guy who did it has done it before, though.
Christopher Daniels did that before. It wasn't even, to me, it wasn't that big of a spot. You know, like, I understand he's taking a chance to jump out there, but really, I mean, unless you really fuck up your jump, and I mean, really fuck it up, like, completely jump to your right or your left.
Yeah.
You're at least going to be able to hold on to a rope up there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Why didn't I don't understand why those guys didn't hold on longer either. Like, I understand they would shake you up a little bit, but come on, those pussies couldn't hold on to that fucking
well,
a little bit,
I mean,
more, you know, like, this is for the fucking championship. You're not even going to try. They, like, fell down, like, they were looking at him like, oh, crap. Like, wouldn't you work together real quick, especially since weren't both the guns up there? couldn't they have done something real quick to try and knock him off stride, or at least, you know, act like you were trying to get up to knock him back down? You know, I wouldn't sit there and go, oh, yeah, great. You know, just like, I was going to say, it's an example. How could someone just sit there and watch somebody walk in for a touchdown? But then again, I've seen that more times than I fucking care to. All the time.
Yeah.
No matter whose team it is. It's just like, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess them letting go finally could be explained that they've been wrestling for near 20 minutes already or something around that. So, you know, I mean, I'll give the guys benefit of the doubt in that case. But I guess, first, I don't like Suicide winning because, first, the name sucks. Second, he's based off of a character in a video game. And then third, again, the belt changes hands. I mean, Shelley had been fighting week after week, finally getting some momentum. And what that championship needs to even matter was a strong champion and just, you know, people chasing him. That's why it would have been better for him to come out on top and just to prove something, just, you know, prove people wrong. Not prove people wrong, but just show people his legitimacy as champion and try to make that belt worth something again.
Yep, they're pretty insistent on not doing that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not one of those blind sheep that are just craving or clamoring for the days of Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Yes, it was good, but the booking climate is not going to happen. It's not going to happen right now.
Well, that, with that Suicide outfit, it just looks so puffy and so rubbery.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like, it looks uncomfortable. Like, even when Kane was wearing, like, almost the full bodysuit,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was kind of tight, it was thin, you could kind of see the outline, but it's just like they've had to use, you know, enough people as the character that they've kind of had to make it, like, looks like a giant fucking, well, not giant, but he looks like kind of a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know? You can tell that there's somebody in there,
yeah.
but there's, like, this layer and layer to make it look decent.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
when Frankie
the
Kazarian
outfit itself looks nice.
Yeah. When Kazarian was wearing it, he looked huge. I mean, like, really big. So
yeah, I mean, I'd say he's a little bit bigger, at least a decent chunk bigger than Daniels. You know, I mean, it looks like he goes to the gym, which is mighty nice of him. You know, being a professional wrestler and all.
Yeah, Kazarian. Well, I think Kazarian was just a bigger guy anyway. Is a bigger guy anyways, muscular wise. Pretty
right.
sure. So.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. He actually.
Yeah.
Goes
sorry,
to the
I got
gym.
Distracted by one of the dogs. So, if you hear me saying "get out," it's because the fucking thing just blew up this room, blew up the back room. Ugh, Jesus Christ! A fucking dumbass walks in here, blows one out, and it looks at me like, "Why are you mad?" What the fuck? You just took an air shit in the room. That's why I'm mad. Disgusting. Ugh. All right. Anyways, all right. Let's just go to the last match since the dog took me totally out of it.
Well, I think we were totally out of that match. So.
Well, I don't care about this last match, and I mean, you know, the two of us. I mean, we loved Kurt Angle. I don't give a shit about anybody in this final match now. Sting honestly looks old and bored. And Kurt Angle, every time he's on, I mean, I'm not waiting for him to die or waiting for him to get hurt, but I'm always suspecting or expecting something bad to happen. Or I'm just more curious to see how freakish he looks now compared to the week before. But there was nothing in this match that is interesting to me. Especially since you knew, since Jarrett and Foley were in the match, they were going to get involved somehow. So.
Yeah, their involvement was far more minor than I expected.
Well,
but
they still played a huge role in it, though. I mean, Foley hit
Sting
with a chair. Jarrett got beat up by Angle again. It's your typical all old men main event for TNA. And, I mean, apparently people like it because their ratings went up the 1 week when they had that super, you know, the goofy gimmick match with, you know, no one in the arena except for, you know, Scott Steiner, Kevin Nash, and Booker T. I don't know, man. It goes to what we were talking about, we started talking about last night, which we can actually get into an audio sometime later this week or whenever, just about what TNA needs to do. What I mean is, what Kevin and I talked about was, you know, you're seeing all of these highlights of, I'm sorry, they just popped up Vicky Guerrero on Raw in the referee's thing, referee shirt. And you can tell it's just...
I'm still a little behind here.
Okay, well, just watch for it, because it's obviously a superimposed head on the referee body. It just looks really weird.
Outstanding.
But you see all these highlights. And I mentioned specifically WrestleMania with the outdoor venues, the domes, the stadiums. Just how over the top but successful looking these venues are. That gives you the impression this is the big leagues. And yes, it is one event a year, okay? But then even when they're showing they put highlight packages together for, like, you know, like Ricky Steamboat or even Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, just, you know, stuff like that. They have the camera angles down to where even the smallest arena looks gigantic. That no matter what they're doing, they look like the most important thing in the world. And not just wrestling. I mean, they make them look like gods, basically, which is, you know, that's what McMahon's good at.
Yep.
But then we're watching this TNA pay-per-view last night. They're messing up the production. The camera angles are always off. The announcing's horrible. Don West is entertaining, but he's counterproductive to trying to sell the product now. And then you see that Impact Zone, the entire setup looks rinky-dink. And it makes, and then on top of that, mixed with the wrestling and the booking of it, it just makes me wonder what the appeal is and how this thing has survived for 6 years or however long it's been now. I guess I was just, maybe that's WWE's intent, is to show how big they are right now, which is fine, as they should. But boy, oh boy. Just, man. I don't know. I couldn't get by last night. So.
You summed it up pretty well there, and they're really the only thing really that came out of that main event. Just to kind of go back to it for a bit, I was still a bit surprised that Sting won. I just figured that we were done, but you know, of course, this breakup of the main event mafia has got to go on way too long now.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be something, and now they're going to have to somehow get the Sting versus Mick Foley at Lockdown. That's why I'm with you. I expected Sting to lose so that Angle could have the belt and then Sting could be getting his revenge on Foley or something.
Unless they're not really going with that, or did they already announce that match?
Dude, they announced that 3 weeks ago. They've been plugging in on different sites, interviews, they've been talking about it. So they've already got that going. Which is exactly what everyone wants to see, is Sting versus Mick Foley in a cage match. So,
seven other cage matches on the card.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we can get into more of what TNA needs to do and an actual productive conversation, and not one of those, well, they need to stop sucking sort of conversations. So we do that some other time.
Plan.
Yeah, if we remember. But we still have to talk about Awesome Kong's potentially racist or whatever name we were talking about Friday, I think it was.
Yeah.
So one of these days this week, we'll have to do a TNA-centric show that doesn't actually have to do with anything like angles or wise. So, and not Kurt Angle-wise, just angles, period. So, but I'm tired of talking about this pay-per-view. Not that I wanted to in the begin with. So,
yep.
So let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
Oh, did you finally see the Vicky Guerrero picture?
Her head is so imposed on that fucking referee.
It's like they put titties on Jack Doan or something. No, wait, is Evan Bourne coming back tomorrow?
Yeah. Did they really need to put titties on Jack Doan?
Well, when you catch up, it looks like they're putting Evan Bourne's going to be on Sci-Fi tomorrow. All right, cool.
Yeah, no, they advertised that last week on ECW.
Yeah, well, I don't think I caught ECW last week. I don't believe it, Lee.
Yeah.
So,
that's
really
cool. I went through it quickly and then realized reading the reviews that he was coming back this week.
Good. At least there's more of a reason to watch that show now. So, I mean, there's more on... never mind. So, I'm going to get out of here. And we'll talk to everyone later, okay? Have a good night. Or day, whatever.
Well, hopefully, grandkids, Jeremy posts this tomorrow, which would mean it is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Which means Grandpa's beer of choice tonight. Definitely got to be Guinness. Have a good night.